As many of you know, Michael Hoskin from our parish is now back in Calgary after serving for 1 year as a missionary with SIM Canada, working in the country of Angola. I know that some of you had, over the past year, were keeping up to date with by reading his prayer newsletters. And perhaps some others were following Michael on social media as he updated people with things that he was doing. I often would look at Michael's social media posts with some interest, particularly the ones in which he was sharing some of his interactions with students in some of the English classes that he was teaching. Now, some of you remember that before Michael left for Angola, he was learning Portuguese, and that proved to be very helpful for him because it then enabled him to teach English to Portuguese students. Often the social media posts that Michael would share would be of humorous interactions between him and his students. Perhaps there was somebody who didn't quite understand the right word to use or translated a word incorrectly. And for the most part, it seemed as though all the students were kind of in the same boat. Each of them took their own turn, making a mistake. And together they would laugh alongside of each other with those mistakes that they were making as they were trying to get this language thing right. If you've ever tried to learn a new language, perhaps you faced some similar challenges. Trying to pick the right word in order to say what you're hoping that you're meaning. And sometimes picking the wrong word, and one that just doesn't make sense. Or sometimes you can even get to the point where you say something and it is way out of context. But what about those, for those of us who... even some of the words in our first language aren't always easy to fully understand. What about certain words that have one connotation, and then when they're used by others, they seem to mean something completely different? Sometimes it can be a challenge trying to sort things out. Take the word kingdom as an example. That was a word that was given prominent place in our passage from Luke's Jesus story this morning. When Jesus sent out 72 of his followers out in mission and ministry. And when he did that, he told them to tell people that the kingdom of heaven was near. Now, that would have been all well and good, provided people knew without a doubt what Jesus meant when he used that word kingdom. But the word kingdom carried with it some baggage. And so, an important question to ask is this: to what extent did people need to learn Jesus' language in order to understand what he was trying to say? I'd like us to spend some time today with our passage. And with that question in mind, I think it's important for us to understand what Jesus was trying to say back then, and subsequently, what Jesus is trying to say to us as we seek to be faithful followers of Jesus today. And I want to use as a title for the sermon today, "What on Earth is the Kingdom?" Now, just for the sake of context, I think it's important for us to note that the mention in our passage today of Jesus sending out people in ministry, that's not a new notion. We're in chapter 10 of Luke's Jesus story. If we just go back one chapter to chapter 9, we read about Jesus similarly sending out people. But this time, at that time, he was just sending out the 12. Those people who had been with him from the very beginning of his ministry, those people who he had particularly called to be his close disciples, he was sending them out in mission. But today, it's as though Jesus is rolling out that mission to more people. Whereas in chapter 9, it was just those who were in that intimate circle of his who were commissioned to mission work. But here, the call is to others. And I think that's something really important for us to understand. Because so often when people think about mission, we think about those who are specifically called, particularly to go to far away places. Many of us in this church, when we think of missions and missionary work, we automatically jump to some of the missions that our own church has been a part of. Sending people to Poland, sending people to Chile, sending people to Sierra Leone, to Cambodia. Michael being sent to Angola. Many of us define mission in those terms, being sent to faraway places. And for those of us who don't feel particularly called to such faraway places, we seem to think that mission work then is just for a select few. But I think it's interesting to notice in our passage today, that Jesus' mission wasn't just limited to a few people. Mission is never for just Jesus' inner circle. No, but it's spread out amongst Jesus' followers as the 72 went out in mission work. And it wasn't just to faraway countries either. No, Jesus sent his followers to the places where they would already be going, the places to which Jesus was already on his way. So what does that show us? Shows us that mission isn't merely just for a select few, but it comes part and parcel with being a disciple of Jesus. Mission goes hand in hand with discipleship. Being a disciple is one who is sent out in mission and ministry. So that leads us to the first question I want to share with you today. To what extent have you thought of missionaries as being other people? And what is Jesus saying to you about that today? So 72 people are sent out by Jesus. And what does Jesus tell them to say to those they meet? Well, in verse 9 of our passage today, he tells them to say, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." And really, such a message isn't all that surprising, is it? After all, that seems to be the focus of Jesus right from the very start of his ministry. If you look at Jesus, when after he was baptized by John in the River Jordan, after he went out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, when he came back to start his ministry, the very first words out of his mouth are, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near." To Jesus, his ministry was about the kingdom. It was about God's kingdom. But understanding the word kingdom proved to be difficult, since many people carried with them preconceived ideas of what that word meant. You see, many did want a new kingdom. Many did want a new king. But their understanding of king and kingdom centered around an earthly ruler, authority given to an individual. A king was one who was a military figure, one who would conquer the enemies, who were the Romans. And the kingdom was the area over which that king would have complete authority. But as time went on, with people following Jesus, people started to experience there kind of being a dissonance between how they understood kingdom and how Jesus understood it. Never did they see Jesus put on a suit of armor. Never did they see him pick up a sword. When he spoke about people mistreating them, he suggested that they offer the other cheek to that person also. As far as many people were concerned, when Jesus spoke about the kingdom, it was as though he was speaking to them in another language. It was something that was so far different from their own understanding. And then there were others who, while they might not have thought about kingdom in militaristic terms, their understanding of kingdom was still far removed from anything they were experiencing. The kingdom, it was a far away place. Kingdom was the kingdom of heaven, God's ultimate rule somewhere else at the end. And you know, I think we see both of those understandings among Christians today. I still remember as a teenager in church singing, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war." There was this idea of there being a battle that was raging. And it was a spiritual battle. And people were with the understanding that we are called to fight. And it's not that I don't think that there is a spiritual battle. I believe there is one between God and the forces of evil. But I don't really think that image really helps us understand what Jesus meant when he talked about the kingdom. Nor do I think it helps us to view kingdom as being some other place. Some place far from here, somewhere up there. I don't think it helps us to view kingdom solely as being the place where we're with Jesus when we die. When I hear Jesus use the word kingdom, the sense I get is that he wasn't talking about a place far removed from the people. He wasn't talking about some kind of future destination, a place you go when you die. In our passage today, when Jesus spoke to those he was preparing to send out in ministry and mission, he told the people to tell others, "The kingdom of God has come near." Notice the word has come near. Not will come near, not sometime down the road. The kingdom of God has come near. Jesus was speaking about something to be lived and experienced in the present. Now, if somebody was to ask you, why did Jesus come? I think many people would say, Jesus came to free us from our sins. Many would say that from the fall of humanity, when people chose to go their own way, they experience there being a separation between themselves and God. And that in order to restore the relationship, God needed to come. God needed to make things right. And Jesus' choice to willingly go to the cross did what was needed for humanity and God to be brought back together. And let me just say, all that theology is all well and good. But was Jesus' purpose one that solely focused on the spiritual realm? Was it just about people's personal standing with God? Was it about them simply turning their back on sin and accepting God's grace and forgiveness? The more I look at Jesus, the more I see one in whom He demonstrated what he meant when he talked about kingdom. We see it as he lived out his life every day. To Jesus, kingdom was about a life that was transformed. One in which the fruits of the Spirit that Rob touched on in his sermon last Sunday, one in which those fruits of the Spirit were growing each and every day in the life of the individual and in the life of the community. When Jesus came, he wasn't intent merely on making sure that people's eternal future was secure. No, he was determined to ensure that they had experienced God working in their present reality. God's kingdom was about God entering the here and now. Of God walking alongside his people in the midst of their struggles, in the midst of all of their difficulties. It was about people experiencing being lifted up and completely loved by God. It was about people's earthly existence being changed by Jesus. Perhaps you remember the time in Matthew's Jesus story when John the Baptist, he was starting to wonder, he's getting some questions about Jesus. Wasn't quite sure if Jesus was fitting his understanding of what the Messiah would be. So he sent his disciples, John was in prison at the time, he sent his disciples on to Jesus to ask him, "Are you the one? Are you the one that we're supposed to be waiting for?" If you know the story, perhaps you can remember what Jesus told those disciples of John the Baptist to tell John. Jesus said, "Go back and report to John what you see and hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." For Jesus, his mission and ministry wasn't just about some other place. It wasn't just about restoring things in an individual, or even just restoring things in spiritual terms. For Jesus, kingdom was about God meeting people in their reality. It was about generosity in word and in practice at all times. It was about people's lives being transformed. It was about bringing God's eternal kingdom to be tasted in the present. And I guess the question that we need to wrestle with is this, is how does that understanding impact the way we go about our mission in the world? Remember, every single one of us, we're called to mission. If we're a disciple, then we are a missionary. It's not an optional extra, not for a select few. Every single one of us are called. And the thing is, I think how we live out that discipleship has an impact on whether or not people see Jesus. How we live out that discipleship has an impact on whether or not people actually catch a glimpse of the kingdom in the here and now. In Paul's second letter to the people living in Corinth, Paul talked about being ambassadors. He thought of himself as being an ambassador for Jesus. I think that's a helpful image for us to hold on to, because an ambassador doesn't represent themselves. Ambassadors aren't free to do what they want. Ambassadors aren't free to say what they want. No, they are representatives of the one who sent them. Everything an ambassador does, everything an ambassador says, gives a message to those who encounter that ambassador. And the message is linked then back to the one whom that ambassador represents. If we reflect Jesus, then the kingdom of God will have been brought near. If we don't reflect Jesus, not only do I think that the kingdom won't be conveyed, but sometimes I fear that the kingdom of God may even be pushed further away from some people, making it even more difficult for that person to experience the kingdom of God sometime later on in their lives. It's almost as though they're like inoculated against the kingdom because of some bad experiences that they face. I don't know whether I'm sure you must have noticed. There are places, there are people for whom Christianity does not have a very good name. And you know, sometimes we spiritualize all this. We say, well, as Jesus was rejected, so should we come to expect rejection to come our way as well. And I gotta say, opposition for really being like Jesus is opposition I'm willing to accept. I mean, Jesus practiced the kingdom on earth and still people opposed him. But what gets me is when people's negative reactions to Christianity are due to past experiences with Christians who weren't anything like Jesus. We almost see it in caricature-like form in some places in the U.S. But the problem is, it's not just a caricature. Sadly, there are places where it's very real. Like the Georgia Republican candidate for governor who was campaigning with a platform of Jesus, guns, and babies. Notice the order. What does that say? Well, to some, that says, well, because of Jesus, while people may advocate for the rights of unborn babies, don't ask us to do anything about the guns that then threaten the lives of babies that have already been born. To me, that looks nothing like Jesus. And then there are Christians who carry placards that shout out about the people or the things that God hates. I don't think I ever saw Jesus carrying such signs. And you know what? It's not only to the south that we see Christians, and I hope this, you're not offended, but we see Christians acting like jerks, because there are some. And if that offends you, I'm sorry, but it offends me that sometimes Christians don't represent Jesus. I mean, consider Christians who will say grace when they're going for a meal in the restaurant. They'll say grace, they'll hold hands, they'll say grace together. And then they're sometimes abusive to the server. Sometimes they will leave a measly tip, not because the service was bad, but because they're just wanting to save some money. I read the other day about a person who has one of these little libraries outside their house. Perhaps you've seen them, where people can, there's books in the library, and you can go to the house and you can take a book out and you put a book in. It's a great thing for the wider community. People just share with that little library. Well, in this particular little library, I heard about this week that a person who owned it discovered one morning all the books had been taken and had been replaced by copies of the New Testament. Somebody stole all the books to share the message of Jesus. What are people getting to know about Jesus by that action? And we wonder why Christianity is given a bad name in some places. It's given a bad name because there are times when Christians don't look anything like Jesus. The kingdom doesn't look anything like what those people are representing. In our passage today, Jesus said to the followers he was about to send out, he said, "Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." And yet so many of us, so much of the time, don't look anything like lambs. We see Christians trying to score points, trying to win arguments, Christians trying to prove other people wrong, Christians for whom standing on high moral ground is the be-all and end-all, and if other people aren't able to attain that high ground, then they're left to flounder on their own. And let's not just attribute this to other people. It's not just that others don't get it, because there are times when we don't get it either. There are times when our witness leaves Jesus just as much shaking his head in despair. When we look at how Jesus lived the kingdom, we see something so completely different. To Jesus, the kingdom was about entering into relationship with people and living first and foremost the generous, abundant, unconditional love of God. To Jesus, it was never about scoring points or winning arguments. It's never about distancing himself from sinners, but rather it was about getting up close and personal with them, walking with people in their pain. It was about generosity in all circumstances, in words, in action, generosity in all aspects of life. To Jesus, the kingdom was about bringing the love of God to the world as we know it, in the hope that all might come to know God's incredible love. In closing, I want to leave you with some questions to reflect on during the week. In what way has your understanding of God's kingdom been focused in the wrong direction? How have you been thinking of the kingdom as something other than it really is? What does it mean to you to be called an ambassador of Jesus? And how might this life be lived differently if you were to act upon that reality? How might the kingdom be brought near to your neighborhood, your workplace, and to the people you encounter each day? You know, sometimes people say, "What's in a word?" Well, when that word is the kingdom of God, I think everything's in that word. It's not about some faraway place, but instead, God wants it to be a reality right here and now. May we be shaped by God's kingdom, that we might reflect that kingdom in our lives each day. May our lives be transformed by Jesus, that we might begin to look more and more like Jesus. And that through us, people might encounter the living God in Jesus, and that they might come to experience life in the kingdom right here and now. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that your love knows no boundaries. We thank you that we're never outside of that love. We thank you that you invite us into your kingdom right now. Lord, so often we don't reflect your kingdom in our lives to the people around us. So often we display a distortion of what your kingdom looks like. But Lord, we ask that you will continue to shape us, continue to mold us, that we might reflect your kingdom in very real ways. Give us a heart for your world. Help us to reach out to others. Help us to reflect Jesus in our lives. Help us as we go about our mission daily. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.